The passage that Paul read for us a little earlier, Colossians chapter 1, and I'm concentrating this morning on the last two verses of the passage that was read for us, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison in Rome. And his purpose in writing this letter of Colossians, well, he actually had two purposes and they are interlinked. He wanted to explain to them who Christ is. And actually, if we'd gone on reading in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 15 onwards, there are some wonderful words about Christ. He wanted to explain to them who Christ is. And then he wanted to explain to them what it means to be saved in Christ. Because the Colossians, like many churches, were confused about these issues and they had an impact upon their lives. So this is why this letter was written, who is Christ and what does it mean to be saved in Christ? And this morning I want to expound for you verses 13 and 14, the Bible's teaching on salvation. And as we do that, we will see this truth that I want to explain this morning, that Christ came to deliver us from the power of sin. Remember this Sunday mornings, I'm doing this series of sermons, why did Jesus Christ come? Tomorrow week, Christmas Day, we celebrate the coming of the Son of God into this world. And as I explained last Sunday, this is the great historical event. This is the event that has changed the whole world. The world has never been the same since Christ came. And it never will be the same again. And Christ's second coming will be another great event like that first one. Well, why did Christ come? We all accept, I believe, that he came. Why did he come? So we've been looking at these passages in the New Testament. And we've seen that Christ came to show us the love of God. And we've seen that Christ came to bring us forgiveness of sin. And this morning we're looking at this. He came to release us from the power of sin. And as we look at these two verses, 13 and 14, the Bible's teaching on salvation, we will see that this comes out clearly, deliverance from the power of sin. So this is the broad heading of my sermon this morning, the Bible's teaching on salvation, given to us in brief form, in edited form, in these two verses. I have three things for you this morning, all of them from this passage. So if you have verses 13 and 14 in front of you, it'll help you because I'm going to walk through them and expound those two verses. 3 points about this teaching, the Bible's teaching on salvation. And the first thing I want us to notice is this, that salvation is the work of God. Salvation is the work of God. In this passage, Paul has been speaking about God the Father. When you look at verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he goes on straight into verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So when the Apostle Paul writes about salvation, he doesn't talk about what men and women have done. Now, I don't want to in any way underplay the role that we have. I want to explain to you, and I will do that this morning in my sermon, if you are not a Christian this morning, there are certain things you must do. And if you don't do them, you will not have salvation. So I am saying this to you, that salvation is the work of God, but that doesn't mean you can sit back and say, well, salvation is something that God does, so I can just sit back and it will just happen to me automatically. No, the Bible's teaching on this is very balanced. God does the work of salvation, but God commands us to repent, and that means to turn from our sin. And God commands us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to us, we must come to Christ. We must believe in Him. We must put our faith in Him. We must trust Him alone. We must receive Him. And we must come to Him and seek Him for salvation. And if we don't do that, we will never be saved. So I never want you to go away from this place saying, well, it's the work of God and I need to do nothing. But this passage does make that very clear right at the beginning. He has delivered us from the kingdom or the domain of darkness. And it is a reminder to us that salvation is something that God has begun. It is the work primarily of God. And when you read the Bible, you find that the Bible teaches this, that God planned the salvation of sinners before He created the heavens and the earth. You know, there are some people, and I used to meet people in Africa who believed this, that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God was caught out. It surprised God. He never expected this to happen. And in a moment of panic, He began to put together some kind of plan of salvation. Well, that's nonsense. Because the Bible says God knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning. When God was creating a tree in the Garden of Eden, He knew that one day Adam and Eve will sin and they will hide behind this tree when I walk in the garden in the cool of the day. He knew that. So God planned our salvation in eternity before He created anything. And God planned that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, should come into this world to be our Savior. It wasn't a last minute thing. It wasn't as if God suddenly said, I tell you what's a good idea. Why don't we send my Son, the Lord Jesus, to the world and He will see what He can do to save sinners. No, the coming of Christ was planned in eternity. And as I've been preaching in the evenings, my sermons in the evenings are Christ in the Old Testament. And we've been looking at Old Testament passages which speak about Christ and reveal things about His character and His work, and how the whole of the Old Testament is preparation for the coming of Christ. How all of it is pointing to Christ, and it's all about Christ. And this is why when the Lord Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with two of His disciples, He turned to the Old Testament and He showed them that the Old Testament teaches about His coming and His death and His resurrection and His saving work. And then God sent His Son into the world. The day came when Christ came into the world. And there are some lovely verses. I just want to read to you a couple of verses in John's Gospel, very familiar verses. And it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." So the day came when God, in love, gave a gift to this world. And it wasn't a gift that cost Him a little here and a little there. It was the greatest gift anybody can give, His one and only Son. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ came into this world, the second person of the Trinity. God Himself in the flesh came into this world. And God the Father planned His death, and God the Father planned His resurrection, and God the Father planned His ascension back into heaven. And God the Father planned His work as our great high priest, which he carries out today in heaven. All of this is the work of God. Now, the reason why it is worded like this in this letter is because these people in Colossae, the letter to the Colossians, was written to a church in a city called Colossae. And they, like many Christians, lose sight of this truth that salvation is found in God alone. And they begin to trust in other things. And this is particularly true of people who aren't Christians, who aren't born again. And they begin to think, now if only I can do certain works, then I will get saved. So you see, they're looking at their own works. Or there are people, and I met some people this week, got into a conversation with some people. And I was talking to them about what I was preaching. And they said, well, we go to church on Sunday. And there's a man at the front, and he conducts a service called the Mass. And at a certain point in the service, he rings a bell, and the bread that he's holding turns into the flesh of Christ. I couldn't believe people actually believe these things. And the cup that he holds turns into the blood of Christ, and it is those things, and this man whom we call the priest, he is the one who gives us salvation. And they were that open about it. And they had no shame in saying this. It wasn't as if, well, we're saying rather odd things here. And I actually read this passage to them, and I said to them, do you know this is false teaching? Salvation isn't in our own works. Salvation isn't in a priest. Salvation isn't in baptism. If you're a Christian, you should get baptized. Baptism is a command of Christ. But salvation isn't in baptism. It's not the case that when you get baptized, your sins are washed away. Salvation isn't even in attending church. Now, we must attend church because we need to be in fellowship with God's people. We need to serve Christ in His church and listen to teaching from His word. But you don't get saved by coming to church. You don't get saved by singing the hymns. You don't get saved by reading the Bible. You get saved when you come to Christ and you ask Him to save you from your sin. You ask Him to wash you in His blood and to forgive you your sins because He died on the cross of Calvary that He might save those who come to Him. So as I said at the beginning, we have a duty, we have a command from God. And God says to us, I have planned your salvation and I've done all that is necessary for you to be set free from your sins, from your guilt and from the slavery of sin. And all of it is found not in your works and not in some priest, but in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is salvation from God. He is God's gift to this world. And His work is where salvation is found. His death on the cross of Calvary is where we find forgiveness. And His blood that He shed on the cross is where we find release from slavery to sin. And so God says to us, you must come to Him and you must trust Him and receive Him and put your faith in Him. If you've never come to faith in Christ, you may know a lot of things about Him and you may know a lot of people who follow Him and you may have read a lot about Him, but you've actually never come to Him and you've never put your faith in Him and trusted Him. All your knowledge is futile, it's useless, it'll do you no good. You must come to Christ and ask Him to save you from your sin. So that's the first thing that this passage teaches us, that salvation is the work of God. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. But there's a second thing then that this passage teaches us. It teaches us in the first place that salvation is the work of God. And then secondly, it teaches us this, that salvation means we are delivered from the power of sin. Salvation means we are delivered from the power of sin. Look at verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. I want to say a couple of things about those verses. I want you to notice in the first place that this is a work that is done and completed for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse doesn't say he is in the process of delivering us from the domain of darkness. It says he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. It's in the past tense, and the tense is written in a way that it's a work that is done and finished. If you're a Christian here this morning, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been delivered from the domain of darkness. You have been removed from the power of sin. In the Old Testament, we have a great example of this work of God. Actually, when I'm not preaching this series, the Christmas series, I'm preaching the book of Exodus on Sunday mornings. And in the book of Exodus, we have the greatest example or the greatest illustration of this work of God. You have the people of Israel, and they were slaves in Egypt. And they were powerless. They couldn't just stand up one day, get up one day and say, "We're walking out." They couldn't do it. They were under the domain of the Egyptians. The Egyptians had power over them. The Egyptians had the ability to force them to labor. And they couldn't get out. And God raised up a deliverer for them, Moses. And Moses defeated Pharaoh in a battle. And Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And that is when the Bible speaks about that event, the Bible says, this is an illustration of your salvation. Before you became Christians, you were slaves, not in Egypt, but slaves of sin. And just as God raised a deliverer for them in Moses, so God has raised a deliverer for you in a greater than Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Moses did battle with Pharaoh, and the 10 plagues. And Pharaoh eventually conceded defeat and said, "Go." So Christ on the cross of Calvary did battle with Satan. Because just as Pharaoh held them in slavery, so Satan held us in slavery. The devil held us in slavery. And Christ on the cross of Calvary, we saw this last Sunday, defeated Satan and bound him so that he may deceive the nations no more. And he then leads us out. And once we are removed, we are removed. And the Old Testament comes back to this event. Every time the people of Israel fell into sin, the prophets would come. And the prophet would speak about the Exodus, the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. And the prophets would say to them, you don't live a life of sin because you're no longer in the domain of darkness. You don't live a life of idolatry because you're no longer in the land of idolatry. You were at one time in the land of idolatry in Egypt. And you did at one time worship idols in Egypt. But you've been removed from that. You've been taken out of that. You're no longer there. It's not as if this is an ongoing work where you're now getting out of Egypt. You've left. You've crossed the Red Sea. And the waters have come over again and buried Pharaoh and his chariots. You've come out. So you don't behave as if you're still in Egypt. And this is the great application for us. If you're a Christian here this morning, the Bible says this to us. It says, you were at one time a slave of sin. You were at one time in the domain of darkness. And you behaved in a sinful way. You lived a sinful life because you knew no other way to live. And even if you knew any other way to live, you had no power to live in that way. You were a slave of sin. But God has delivered you from it. He isn't delivering you little by little from it. God has delivered you from the domain of darkness. So you don't live like the people in the world. You don't live as those in the world who are not Christians live. Our attitudes and our words and our behavior has to undergo a change. In one sense, the message of the Bible is, live according to who you are. Live according to who you are. You are now a new creature in Christ, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit Himself. He lives in you, and He's at work transforming you. So you live, you keep in step with the Spirit as He leads you in ways of holiness. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, then I need to alert you to your condition. And your condition is simply this: you're a slave of sin. You're a slave of the devil. And I appreciate these are alarming words. And you may look at me and you think, what are you talking about? And I say this to you, that this is God saying it to you, really. Because I'm only telling you what God says in His Word. And God in His Word says this to you. And God is all-knowing. God never makes a mistake. And God knows you because God has created you. And God knows your heart because God can see your heart. And God knows your life because God knows everything about you. You may be able to hide your deeds from others, and you may say, well, nobody else knows how I live and what I really do behind closed doors. Well, we don't, but God does. And if you aren't a Christian here this morning, you need to wake up to this truth that you are a slave of sin. You're in the grips of the devil. You're in his power, and he controls your life. Now, the devil is very clever because he controls you in such a way you're not aware of it. You know, I'm on a visit to India. Please listen to this story. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. I visited a village where my ancestors came from. And they were talking to me about August 1948 when India became independent. And they said a government official came to the village. This was a few months after independence. Government official came to the village and said to them, he gathered all the villagers together and he said, friends, we are no longer under the power of the British. We have become independent. And they turned around and said, who are the British? What are you talking about? You see, they were so remote in the wildernesses. They didn't know that the country was ruled by the British. They just paid their taxes to the village chief, and he paid it to the district chief, and eventually it made its way to the British. But the villagers themselves never knew the British ruled them. They never saw the British. So you see, they were under the power of, I'm not making political statements here, forgive me, I'm not trying to say you did wrong or anything like that, I'm simply using it as an illustration. But they didn't know that they were under the power of some foreign country. Never knew that. And this is what happens with people who are not Christians. You talk to them and you say, do you know you're a slave of sin? I'm not a slave. When Jesus was on earth, he talked to the Jews and he said, I've come to set you free. And they said, but we are free. We're not slaves. But they were slaves. And the devil is very clever. The devil enslaves you and at the same time tells you you are free. And persuades you that you are free. And so you believe you are free. Whereas actually you are a slave. And if you aren't a Christian, you need to come to Christ. Because only Christ can set you free from slavery to sin. So salvation is the work of God. And salvation means we are delivered from the power of sin. And then thirdly and finally in this passage, salvation means we are brought into the kingdom of Christ. Salvation means we are brought into the kingdom of Christ. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, He didn't leave them in the wilderness to make their own way. He didn't say to them, well, you've been slaves in Egypt, and your life has been terrible and you've cried out for deliverance, well, I've raised up a deliverer for you, and he has done battle with Pharaoh and defeated Pharaoh, and you now cross the Red Sea, you're out of Egypt, get on with it now. He didn't say that. He led them through the wilderness for 40 years and took them to the promised land where there was milk and honey. And when you read the promises that God had made to Israel in the Old Testament, you know there are wonderful promises. Did you know God had promised the Israelites that the harvest in their promised land would never fail? And if it did fail, it was an indication to them that they'd fallen into idolatry. That was the only reason why harvest would fail, if they'd fallen into idolatry. God promised to provide for them, because this is the grace of God. This is the love of God. I think some of the most precious verses in the Bible are some words that the Lord Jesus spoke. And he was talking to his disciples before his death and resurrection. And he said to them, I'm going away from you now, but I won't leave you as orphans. I think that's wonderful. I won't leave you as orphans. So you see, this is what God has done. And verse 14 explains the mechanics of what happens in verse 13. Because verse 14 says, when you become a Christian, two things happen to you. You have redemption. You are brought out of slavery. That's what redemption means. Redemption means to be freed from slavery. So he says, you have redemption or freedom from slavery, and you have the forgiveness of your sin. So God releases you from slavery to sin, and God forgives all your sins. And God begins a work in you to prepare you for eternal dwelling in heaven. If you ever visit a city in the developing world, Nairobi, Mumbai, Calcutta, somewhere like that, one of the saddest sights is what they call street children. Every nation has a word for them, and it's usually a derogatory word, not a nice name. So for example, if you were to go to Nairobi today, and you were walking through the main shopping area of Nairobi, you'll find children, boys and girls, teenagers, sitting in the streets. And they were born in the streets. And they were grown up in the streets because their parents have been on the streets. So they've grown up in the streets, and they've grown up the ways of the streets. They've learned to beg for their living, and they've learned to be aggressive to tourists, and they've learned how to demand money, and they've learned how to fight among each other, and they've learned how to steal each other's food, and so on. Now, I want you to imagine a street boy in Nairobi. And one day, a man goes into the streets and looks at this boy and takes pity on him. And he says to him, now look, you're in this street and you are trapped in it. You have no means of getting out of this lifestyle. Even if you wanted to, you have no means of getting out of this lifestyle. You were born in this, and you're condemned to a life of begging and threatening tourists and so on. But I will take you out. And I know that you've committed crimes because you've stolen handbags and so on. I will pay the police, I'll pay the court whatever fine is required, so you're free from guilt. And he takes the boy to his home. And he goes through the adoption process in the court and adopts the boy as his son. Now, he has taken him out of the streets. He's been removed from out of the streets and brought into this man's home. But you see, he still has all the habits and the lifestyle of the street. He wakes up when he wants to wake up and eats when he wants to eat and goes to sleep when he wants to go to sleep and so on. No regulation in his life. And the man says, now look, in this family, we live in a certain way. You wake up at a certain time and you eat at certain regular intervals and you go to bed at a certain time. And gradually, little by little, he teaches him the ways of a family, because he has now been adopted into a new family. And he teaches him the ways of that new family, how you live in this home because you've been adopted here. And you know, that's a picture of our salvation. We were once trapped in a certain lifestyle, and we couldn't get out. And God, by His grace, has brought us out of that and brought us into His kingdom, the kingdom of the Son, whom He loves. And He has made us His adopted children. But we come with all the habits of our old lives. And so God the Spirit comes to live in us. And He begins to transform us. And this is essentially the Christian life. What is the Christian life? The Christian life is a process whereby we are being transformed daily and gradually, little by little, into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you have been delivered from the domain of darkness. And you have been brought into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You have been redeemed and you have been forgiven. And you are being transformed. And God commands us to keep in step with the Spirit, meaning the Spirit is at work transforming you. Don't frustrate Him, but fall in with His plans. So when He gives you the impulse to pray and to read the Bible and to fellowship with God's people and to put to death certain sinful habits, don't resist, because He is at work transforming you into the image of Christ. So this is the Bible's teaching of salvation in a couple of verses. It is the work of God, and it means we've been delivered from the power of sin, and it means we've been brought into the kingdom of Christ and are being transformed into the image of Christ. Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for the blessings of salvation. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank You, Lord, for those here who are Christians, that You have delivered us from the domain of darkness. And You have brought us into Your kingdom. And we pray You help us, Lord, to keep in step with the Spirit and to live holy lives before You. And we pray this morning for any here who have never been delivered from the domain of darkness. And we pray, our Father, that even today, You would alert them to their condition, that they're slaves of sin. And we pray that You would draw them to Your Son, the Lord Jesus, that they might come to Him in faith and be delivered from darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.